This is Ken McCarthy. Like all things, the Internet will only be young once. And when the history of the Internet's early days are written, for the story to be complete, it must feature the name Corey Nicholas Rudel. Corey didn't get the media attention that the dot-comers got, and his own fortune was relatively modest in contrast with the hundreds of millions and even billions that some people made in the Internet's infant years. But the record should show that when it came to inspiring bootstrap entrepreneurs with the potential of street-smart marketing on the Internet, Corey Rudel had no equal. Corey was not the first person to teach small operators how to market online intelligently. Jonathan Mizell and I each had that distinction in 1993, but Corey was by far the biggest and the most energetic. Most people knew Corey as a superstar, but there were many years of incredibly hard and often frustrating work that preceded his so-called overnight success. Unlike the flock of Me Too gurus who have crowded the marketplace in recent years with absurd claims of prowess, Corey genuinely deserved the title of genius. For example, he was one of the very first marketers of any size to grasp and use the power of affiliate marketing, even before Amazon. Even more important, he went through the hard work of making the tools of affiliate marketing and many other sophisticated online marketing tools available, easily available, to the much-neglected newbie and small business owner. Thanks largely to Corey, there are now thousands of small business people today who operate with more intelligence and skill online than many of the companies of the Fortune 500. Some people will remember Corey for the money he made or his dominance over the how-to-market on the Internet niche. I'll remember him for his passion for the Internet, and the opportunity the Internet offered the little guy. What follows is a conversation Corey and I had in, I think it was 2001, early part of the year. The quality's not too good. It was recorded with a little handheld tape recorder in a hotel room. But the content, I think, is superb. It captures Corey's spirit very well, and it tells the rarely told story of the details of his early days, how he got started. There's a lot to learn from it, no matter how experienced or inexperienced you are in Internet marketing, business, or life. Farewell, Corey. There will never be another one like you. Thanks for everything.
There's all kinds of techniques. You know, in the old days, how people used to learn things. Their father would be a blacksmith, and they'd watch him over the years, and they'd pick it up over time. And I think what a lot of people miss in a seminar setting, even in a book setting, is the process by which somebody goes from not knowing and not doing to knowing and not doing to knowing and doing, and then knowing and doing really well and progressively better and better. And sometimes when they see somebody like Jonathan or yourself or Patrick, they go, God, how the heck does anyone ever get there? And I always try to impress on people, well, they started exactly where you did. That's one thing I'd like to talk about is, you know, even your early business experiences and then how it evolved into your Internet business. I mean, for instance, we all know that you've got the biggest selling product of how to market on the Internet sold online. So it's, you know, you're number one in that field. You have one of the biggest affiliate programs out there and one of the most active. Even the things that didn't work out, I think, are of interest. You know, in a seminar, you can't talk about all the stuff that you did that didn't work.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So how did you first get the bug to be in business?
There's a lot of different things. I actually got the bug. My father was an entrepreneur in the sense that he owned a fence company.
Okay.
And he had a lot of experience with that. And I had a love for cars.
Yeah.
And I really... He kind of introduced me to. He used to get the Gary Halbert letter.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he used to get little J. Abraham stuff, little Ted Nicholas stuff.
Wow.
He used to pass it off to me, saying, "You know, here, learn about business."
And when about what?
That was like 15 or 16.
You were starting to read that then.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
I thought that's blasting. Oh, that's cool. I can't believe it. Oh, that does this. That got this results. I was like, I found it so intriguing how something so simple affected somebody and got a result. And I was like, that's interesting. So it kind of got me interested in. I want to start my own business, so I quit motorcycle racing. And I said, whatever money you have to add from motorcycle racing, just put that towards my first business.
Okay.
And so he said, okay, and we went and did that. And things got way out of control. And,
what was your first business?
It was a business selling automotive parts Fiat automotive parts, exactly. Pontiac Fiat is old pieces of junk.
Oh, yeah?
Fiat aftermarket automotive parts via catalog to enthusiasts. Back in 80, it was big in 84 to, like, you know, 88 when the car was out.
Okay.
They're posed as a new Corvette, which they really weren't. Okay. But they were posed as that. So they had a lot of aftermarket parts and hop-ups, and with a lot of trial and error and basically working from my parents' basement
okay.
at age 16,
yeah.
we started a little business that was a catalog and had a little desk in the basement and is doing $250,000 a year in business. And we became the largest distributor for Fiero aftermarket parts in North America.
In the whole continent?
Little 16-year-old kid, you know.
So and you made it in a year. So from the time you started, you built it that fast.
Yeah, actually, it's not so long. It was over, it's 15 years ago now.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't remember exactly the year. It could have been, you know, a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
It happened very quickly. And I took a lot of things that I learned from, you know, a lot of ideas I got from Halbert and so on, and tried to position them. And some of them flopped in their butt, you know.
Right.
And some of them worked. And you mentioned, you know, how do you go from zero to 100 miles an hour?
Right.
And it just comes down to, and this is almost horrible to say, it's just hard work. It's like,
of course.
It's putting in crazy hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Is making sacrifices, not going to movies on Friday night with your buddies, or going
right.
having a date, whatever it is,
right.
and putting the time to build the base and to learn, so that when the time comes and the right opportunity and the right demand and you're in the right spot at the right time, you've got all the tools you need, and boom, you've hit the mother load.
Right.
So, because sometimes, you know, we've always had businesses that have been successful, but they haven't been wildly successful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was making, I don't know what it was, you know. $20,000-$50,000 a year, whatever it was, when I was in my late teens, which was good money back then, but it wasn't hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Right.
Even in my early 20s, you know, I got involved in the coupon business and tried that a little bit and made a couple $1,000s.
Right.
You know,
right.
After 6 months of work, I only made $2,000, you know.
Right.
And so it's profitable, but when I work at my time involvement, I probably got paid 10 cents an hour.
But you were learning something at each step.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the things, and I speak a lot in Europe now. And one of the things that I find so different from America and Europe, or for that fact, any other cultures, generally speaking, other cultures are afraid to fail.
Mm.
And we're not.
Yeah.
In America, it's like, you know what? Some people are. It depends, you know, there's a lot of cultures in America, and you have an Asian culture, or a Pakistani culture, or whatever. Sometimes they are afraid to fail, because failing is like a sign of their honor and pride, and
right.
they can't fail, and they can't
right.
show that.
Right.
But if you have somebody with a really, you know, American background, they usually aren't afraid to fail. I think a lot of people that may have an ethnic culture behind them need to learn that, hey, this is America, and you can fail. It's okay to fail.
Yeah.
For that fact, it's good to fail, because we're actually not failing. We're educating ourselves.
Right.
And I still fail. I'll be really bold with you. I fail 5 times a day right now.
Wow.
But, you know, I fail small.
Yeah, right.
It's like, test a small idea and put a limited budget towards it. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay.
Yeah.
Test a small other idea. If it doesn't work out, that's okay.
Yeah.
They also need the one idea, like one of the 10 ideas or one of the 20 ideas. You know, one is the masterpiece. It just explodes. You're like, oh, this is the mother load. It paid for all the failures and then some. And it's just, it's learning to go out and not be afraid, testing really small, and learning that you're not failing, you're educating yourself the entire time. I made a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a lot of money sometimes. But all the money I lost paid for itself 10 times over in the windfalls I had when I found a technical success that was successful.
Because you prepared through your experience. You harvested every experience, win or lose.
Exactly.
So that when that door opened, you were able to...
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of things. And the one thing I love about the Internet, and this is something that I'll talk about very often, but it's the Internet has a lot of advantages. And the major advantage, in my opinion, is the fact that it's new.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know about it or don't know how to do a business on it and don't know, let me rephrase that, don't know how to do an internet business. Yeah, they know the business model is off, they're trying to make it work online, it blocks, whatever.
Yep.
But it's a new frontier, and you, if you know what you're doing, you have such an advantage over everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that if you find a new model, I mean, there's so many offline models, it's just not many new things you do, but it's new technology, and technology is changing every 6 months, and there's new stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah.
You can find a window of opportunity, which you can very easily because the technology is moving so fast.
Yeah.
That if you're at the right place at the right time, you can literally monopolize that because you're in there first, nobody else does it. Everybody starts, all the players in that small little niche market start doing business with you.
Right.
And then you grow with them. As they grow, you grow because you all know each other.
Right.
And then if somebody tries to compete with you, well, of course, all your friends now that are in the same industry aren't going to listen to this guy that's on the bottom rung of the ladder because they're in a business with you for the last 6 months or a year, have a relationship. You know, they're not going to wreck a business relationship over something they don't know about.
Right.
So you have a really big advantage. It's a first mover advantage, what it is. You know, you hear all these first mover advantages.
Yeah.
Monopolizing the market and getting there first, and building those relationships in the small and niche market. As they grow, you grow, as you grow, they grow. Mm-hmm. And Car Secrets is a perfect example. I got in Car Secrets. I'll try to walk you through very quickly.
Sure, sure.
We did. I'll try to walk you through from where I was 16 until what happened to you.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love that.
I didn't get there. So at 16, I'll kind of do the quick story because it can go on forever. So okay. I'll do the 3-minute story.
Okay.
So when I was 16, we started a small business, Fiero Plus, and it worked very well. And we had this great little business that was trying different techniques and different ideas, and some were working and some were. And we had a successful business making decent money for the age I was, and it was okay. Very niche market, very, very niche market, you know, very limited amount of people.
Yeah.
So then at last, I had a deal with my parents, and the deal was that for the money they lent me, which is selling my motorcycle, my race motorcycles, I had to go back to school by the time I was 21. I had to go to university. My dad was, you have to go to university and be structured and disciplined, and I don't care what you study, just go to university and be disciplined.
Mm.
So, like, okay, we made a deal. So 21 came along, I was turned 21, I was like, I have to go back to university.
Oh, okay.
So I took a couple of years off and doing the business.
Yep.
And so I sold the companies. And went to university.
I mean, companies were the parts and other companies as well?
Oh, sorry, I actually skipped that. I apologize. I have a hard time. So it's just so...
it's ancient history.
It's ancient history, exactly.
Yeah, well.
So what we did was, they had a Fiero Plus business, which sold aftermarket products, mostly performance products, everything from how to soup up your Fiero to put on aftermarket wheels and skirts on, right down to Fiero panties for women. I mean, we had it all over the map. It was really weird.
And was it Fiero magazine that you advertised?
Yeah, like it was that we advertised in the Fiero magazines and so on.
You run your ads and develop catalog buyers?
Yeah, you pay $5 for the Fiero catalog, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So we did that, and then I don't know if everybody knows about Fiero, but Fiero became a real base model for kit cars. Kit cars are replica Ferraris, replica Lamborghinis, where they take the body off and they put on a Lamborghini body or a Ferrari body. So I got into that, and that became a really big business.
Yeah.
And that went really well in my 19 to 21 age. I was doing that. We actually got involved a little bit in exotic cars because it kind of led into real exotic cars.
Sure.
And started doing some restoration work and contracting out and doing subcontractors, trying to be the middleman of everything. Right?
Yeah.
I was always the middleman.
Uh-huh.
Never produced anything. Always buying and selling. Buying low, selling high.
Okay.
And then so we sold them when I went to university and when I was age 21. And I was in university for the first year, going for business school.
Okay.
And I was realizing, you know what? I don't understand what they're teaching me. It's like teaching me to have a $50 million advertising budget, be some corporate executive. I'm like, that's really cool, but I have a $50 advertising budget, not a $50 million advertising budget.
They were teaching you to be a manager of somebody else's business.
Exactly. And I couldn't relate. I was an entrepreneur. I really loved that. And I realized at an early age that I loved getting up. And I love being an entrepreneur. I love owning my own business and trying new things and seeing it grow. I love seeing it grow.
Yeah.
And the challenge of seeing it grow. So I sold the businesses, went to university for the first year and a half, and I hadn't been in contact with one of my old customers. Actually, a customer, you probably seen him on TV, called 1-800-USA-SEARCH.
Oh, yeah.
You seen him?
Yeah.
Virgil, and I can't remember the other guy's name. He actually just a customer of mine. And they're going to buy a car from me and so on. He talked about this book, how he wrote this book, and it's on adoption, how you can find your adopted parents through internet computer databases now and so on. He's the first one to do it, and he told me his business model, and it's really brilliant. And he's like, I can't get over it, Corey. I sell these books at $24.95, and I buy it for $1.55. And I'm like, that's the kind of margin I want to deal with, I'm selling Fiero parts at 20% margins, and this guy's working on, hundreds of percent margins.
That's an example of your mind was prepared that when you saw the mail order print model, that you embraced it.
Oh,
whereas somebody else who may not have had business experience would say, well, what's so exciting about that? Yeah.
You work on a small margin, 20%, trying to cover all your overhead and everything else and your print costs, and then you also have this product that you have hundreds of percents of markups on. You can make major mistakes and still make money.
Right.
Like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he wrote a book, he's an expert in this field, so he wrote a book because he's an expert in this field. He told me how he back-ended products in the book and how he recommended other search agencies he would take commissions from and so on. I was like, oh, that's brilliant. I was like, that's smart.
Yeah.
And he's like, it even gets better, Corey. He says, when I go to the libraries, I add a hardcover, so I only buy hardcover books. It costs me an extra $2 to add a hardcover, so it's a $3.50 cost.
Uh-huh.
I sell them for $49.95. I'm like, oh, I got to be in this business.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, what am I an expert in? I'm like, I'm an expert in kit cars. I was an expert of knowing everything you want to know about Fiero kit cars from Northern America and all of Canada.
Okay.
Like, I was the guy to go talk to about kit cars. Like, that's what I know about. So very small niche market. I'll go write a book on how to teach people how to build their kit car cheap.
Yeah.
And all the tricks of the trade, how not to get ripped off, how to buy it cheap, how to cut your costs, that kind of stuff. So I wrote a book on it. Quit university a year and a half in. My dad was not happy about that.
Oh, no.
Wrote a book on it and started marketing it. And I used all of the two-stepping, Gary Halbert techniques, started getting Jay Abraham, trying the fax techniques and the classified ads and everything else. And and try to full page ads with, you know, like what we call fake magazine ads.
Right, sure.
Three column paper magazine ads.
Yeah.
Tried those and found out what worked and didn't work for me. I tried everything. Some have walked on the spot. The thing that worked for us was a full page ad in a magazine that looked like an article.
Okay.
It worked very well for us. And I started selling it. It was a very small market, two magazines, total circulation of 100,000 people. I couldn't go anywhere else to this market.
Right.
So I did that and sold it, and we were, you know, making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. I mean, a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot in the process of learning how to market the book. And I was like, this is a test model.
Mm-hmm.
This is a test model for the masterpiece. And what I thought is, if I can sell this book with this model, I've worked out what marketing works. If the two-step doesn't work, the cross-buys don't work, the half-page ads don't work, the displays don't work, but this one page, you know, with a certain layout, a certain coupon, and a certain picture of the book, and a certain headline with the reverse type, the black back or the white type to catch their attention, you know, warning, big warning sign on the top and everything. I found the model that worked, that made money. I'm like, okay, now I just have to get a bigger model, a bigger market.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I know about cars.
Yeah.
Now my market's only 100,000 big. Why don't I go after a market that's 1 million?
Right.
10 million,
right.
100 million big. I'm going to be a millionaire. So I'm going to make $20,000 in a market that's 100,000 big. If I can find a market that has 2 million, I'm going to make, you know, times that out, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, my next book is about all cars, not just kit cars, all cars. I wrote a book on the mother book on all cars.
Okay.
Give me the Bible. It teaches you how to figure out, you know, how to get repair, how to get discounts on car repairs, how not to get ripped off and go to get your car repaired, how to buy a car at your own cost, how to sell your used car for more money, how to buy insurance at 50% off, everything you want.
Yeah.
If you own a car or sell a car or buy a car, you had to have this book. So I went and got the book. I built this book. It took me a month to do all the research.
Mm-hmm.
Actually bought every book in the sky, like a whole book on how to get gas mileage down, you know, and summarized the best information of my own experience in my own business. And information I read, I put it in my own words, summarized into the, you know, took all the fluff out, summarized into the hard-hitting 200 pages of what you got to know. Called The Car Secrets Revealed, actually.
Okay.
So it's called Car Secrets Revealed. And I went offline, and I started marketing. Quit university, started marketing. And it did pretty good. At first, it looked like it was doing pretty good. So we just started little small test marketing.
Okay, how are you advertising that?
It was very small. First, little classified ads, little half-page ads in Auto Traders or car magazines. And all of a sudden, these little small ads were making... I shouldn't say it did pretty good. It did okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't making much money because we only had a limited market with small little ads.
Yeah.
And we said, you know what, we need to go big with this. We need to follow the same model we did before.
Sure, yeah.
So what we did is we actually went and we did the same model where we had a full-page ad, three columns, same deal, warning at the top, going on the yard. Like, it works. We know it works. And now instead of our market being 100,000, we have 250 million people that own cars.
Right.
I'm going to be rich.
Right, sure.
The story didn't turn out that way. So we went and marketed, went and put full page ads in Auto Traders and paid $3,000, put it in, you know, some of the less popular car magazines because that car driver was $35,000. We couldn't afford that.
Right.
So, and be very blunt with you, it flopped.
Wow.
It barely broke even.
Wow.
And about 8 months into it, I'm like, I have a job.
Wow. Oh, God.
I have no money anymore.
Yeah.
All the money I invest, I have a job. I can't figure out why it worked. We tried different things. It doesn't work. The same model we had before, the different market, didn't work in this. I mean, cars are cars, you know, and couldn't figure it out. And after the whole thing, actually a couple of years later, we did figure it out.
Mm.
And I won't tell you that yet because we'll get into that in a second.
Okay, good.
But we went in and couldn't figure it out. We're like, I don't know what we're going to do. And luckily, somebody came to me and says, hey, Corey, why don't you put that on the internet? And I was like, what's the internet? This is back in 1994.
Wow.
Like, what's the internet? He says, all this thing is online. Is this? You dial with your computer. I'm like, I have a computer. I can dial in.
Okay.
This, and it's like, we were at like 9600 baud.
Right, you know, that's
like,
right.
14K modem was like a year away
right,
still. You
right.
know? So we're like, this is interesting. And I went in and looked at it, and he showed me everything. I was like, oh, that's really cool. That's really interesting. I'm like, you know what? I'll put up a web page. I don't have to lose.
Right.
And he actually showed me how to put up a web page. He helped me build it. I couldn't believe it. Helped me build it. And I built a web page in HTML 1.0 back then. And it was a simple web page, and it had a plain order form, and no secure service. That's
right.
Secure service back then. It didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
A plain order form, and you were high tech, you had an order form.
Right, right.
Didn't charge a credit card. You had to take, you know, the order form, took all the information, email, you had to charge a credit card over the phone,
right,
and dial it.
Right.
It was really low tech.
Yeah.
But we did this, and we put the ad up, and it cost me $25 a month for the hosting. That was the website.
Yeah.
And I got $200 in sales. And I didn't do anything. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I had $200 in sales for a $25 investment. Now, what if I invest $2,000? Will I get $20,000 back? Interesting. Let's go investigate this more. So I learned everything from scratch, how to build a banner, how to FTP, what that was,
right,
how to build a web page. I did everything myself for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And we went out and we...
Really?
Just
you?
Just me.
For a couple of years.
I had my desk at the end of my bed in my bedroom. I hopped out of bed, crawled to my desk in my boxer shorts and started typing away. It was pathetic. I called my first business my boxer shorts. I clearly admit that. So it was actually a lot of fun. But what we did is, this is the beauty of the whole thing, is I took all the marketing methods and ideas that I learned from Gary Halbert and Jay Abraham and Ted Nicholas, and didn't those marketing methods per se didn't work online. You just took them and put them online.
Mm-hmm.
We just twisted them a little bit.
Mm.
And took their ideas and the methodology of how the person was thinking and what they were doing to get the job done. Not what they did, but why they were doing it.
Well, you know, you said that today to the attendees.
Yeah.
You said, yeah, look at what people are doing, but don't copy it. Understand why they're doing what they're doing. I see.
Totally true.
Yeah, yeah.
So we figured out, okay, why is Ted Nicholas doing this? Why is Jay Abraham doing this? Why is Gary Halbert doing this? Oh, he just wants to get this emotional response. He wants to get this whatever.
Right.
We're like, okay, let's twist these ideas. And we did, and we basically tried everything from the common to the risque to everything you ever could imagine.
Uh-huh.
I spent 24, it seemed like 24 hours, it was probably more like 12 to 15 hours a day of a year, and I didn't leave on weekends. I ate Subway at my desk.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. I never, and I was just so intrigued by it
all.
We tested everything, and within 18 months, we turned a business that started with $25. $25 for the first month of web hosting.
Yeah.
I did everything myself. My upfront cost, capital cost, was $25.
Yeah.
We turned into selling almost 10,000 copies and making $144,000 net profit.
In the first year?
In the first 18 months.
First 18 months, wow.
And that was just by going hardcore, putting in stupid, crazy, dumb hours, working really hard and testing everything that seemed normal.
What kinds of things did you test in those days?
We're talking about everything from the way you design a banner to where the banner was placed, to website design, breaking having long copy compared to short copy,
breaking
having links. We had everything from short copy, long copy, blatantly putting a picture right up front, having a little guaranteed logo, letting them know up front that we're selling something or trying to disguise it, make it look like an article and actually lead them into a sale.
Wow, so you were really testing everything.
We were testing everything. We tried classified ads on them. We tried CompuServe deals. We tried posting articles in forums and CompuServe and AOL and see if people would like the article and click on the link and come to us. We post messages in newsgroups. Newsgroups and forums back then were really big.
Right,
it wasn't the technology for social forums back then.
Yeah,
it wasn't technology for HTML banners or stuff like that. So we tested a lot of different things. We were one of the first people that came up with one that what we call a text link banner.
Oh, really?
It was a banner that is a transparent background, so it disguises it. It makes it look like part of a web page.
Okay.
Transparent background. And we put a blue graphic text link on it so that people think that the blue link is part of the web page.
Right.
It's a banner of ours.
Right, right.
And we're the first ones to test it. We still use it this day.
Wow.
After 4 years, it's still being used.
Wow.
So stuff like that we tested. We tested copy. I mean, so many zillions of things we tested. Everything you ever could imagine.
But it always boiled down to two things. One, traffic generation, and two, harvesting the traffic once it arrives.
Yeah,
it was those
exactly.
Two
absolutely. You pinpointed it perfectly. It's two things you need. You need to get traffic to your site, and you need to find a way to interest them. Make sure you get qualified traffic. It's the biggest thing.
Right, right.
And then once you get them to your site, how do you convert that visitor to a sale?
So those were all the things you were testing.
So we're testing. Yeah. Two things we're testing is how do we drive traffic to the site. And totally different wild things we're doing there. Some flops, some work. And then we're testing, once they get to the site, what changes we make at the site to actually get them to become a customer.
Right.
We tested things, for example, on newsgroups. We tested putting a whole article in a newsgroup. And we said, no, we want to capture the email address. So we actually said, we had this great little message saying, so we have this 20-page article. We don't want to waste your bandwidth on the newsgroup reading here online. So you know what? Just email us address, and we'll send you a copy so you can read it in your own time when you're offline.
Great.
And so the kind of angle is that we really don't want to do it because we want to capture their email.
Right.
But how we present
it
to them is a benefit.
Right.
We don't want to keep it online. We want to read it when you want to. We'll email it to
you. Which is still the big challenge.
Yeah.
How do you capture emails without tipping your hand that
we want to contact them in the future to try to sell them things?
When did it dawn on you that email was key to all this? Probably pretty early on, I guess.
Yeah, we've been emailing our list for 3 years now or so. But where it really hit home was the middle to end of 1999. We're like, this is the mother load. I mean, the email address is the mother load.
Wow.
We started collecting often email addresses hardcore through our site. Just any free newsletter offering free newsletters.
As late as 99.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And before then, we were offering deals where we were capturing email addresses. We realized the potential of them.
Yeah.
But we didn't realize how to capture so many email addresses. We're like,
okay,
we can capture on news groups and posting articles.
Yeah.
We didn't realize we can capture the site by offering a free newsletter and so on.
Okay.
And doing surveys and doing contests and offering value at the site. Exchanging free downloads, for email address.
Yeah.
We did a lot of different things, and we realized that in 1999, we realized that we came down to, you know what, all the other stuff really counts is getting traffic to your website. Because before 1999, it was like, you know what, in 94, 95, 96, 97, a lot of the thing was like, you can still generate traffic without having a website. You can still do it by email and autoresponse and news groups. But by 96, 97, 98 areas, like, you have to have a website. And all the techniques that we're doing before, how we kind of twisted and molded to work on websites.
Yeah.
One of the ideas is that, you know, and we stopped trying to get the email address from news groups and offering articles. It's like, let's just ask for it on the website. Let's try to get them off into our newsletter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it took us as long as 99. But
wow.
I think most people didn't even catch on until this year, until 2000. Well, this is 2001.
2001, yeah.
But finally in 2000, you saw in 2000, finally all the big companies were start paying the big dollars to get email addresses.
Right.
$4 or $5 per registration.
Right.
Crazy money in affiliate type of arrangements.
Right.
It was amazing, and they started catching on, but we were doing it about a year in advance before then.
When did you make the transition from your car book to internet marketing tips?
Yeah, 97.
Because I always had the impression, because of how successful you've been, that you must have been marketing this in 94, 95.
Yeah. Here's a secret behind
amazing.
It all.
Amazing. So 4 years, really.
Yeah, that's all.
Wow.
But here's what the secret behind it all. This is what made it all happen, why it made it explode so fast.
Okay.
Is we went through all the testing days. We went through all the hard work in the beginning, and we learned what worked and what didn't work. And people started coming to us going, hey, I see you're counting your webpage. You have 2 million visitors to your webpage over. How'd you do that? Do that for me. I want you to do that for my site, my jewelry site or whatever. We're like, yeah, we can do that. So I started consulting myself out at a couple $100 an hour and saying, yeah, I'll do this for you.
And this was when you were still doing the car.
Doing the car secrets, yeah. Back in 95, 96, well, actually more like 96, early 97.
So they were knocking on your door saying, please be an internet expert for
and
me.
Show us. Show us how you're getting this traffic. Show us how you're being successful.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we can do this. And I started doing this as a service, as a consultation basis going, and it was good. And I'm like, I can't tell them everything I know in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. If I go on holidays, I don't get paid because I'm not doing my
work.
Right,
right.
How can I convert my service into a product? That's one recommendation I have for everybody is, if you have a service business, how can you convert your service into a product? Because you can sell, once you convert into a product and do all that work, whether you sell one a day or 10,000 a day, same amount of work. You did the work in the beginning.
And you can't personally deliver 10,000 of anything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and if you do have a service business where you have a consultation-based business or something like that, if you want to grow, you have to hire more people and train them and deal with employee problems and training problems and customer service issues. And it's just a whole nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
So my recommendation is if you have a service business, try to convert it to a product somehow. You know, there's tons of ways to do that.
So 97, what month did you finally say? Do you remember?
Yeah, early in 97, and I'm guessing about May of 97, I realized that this is ridiculous. I need to take everything I know in my brain and dump it into a course and start selling this course. I started going and investigating it, and actually I found Jonathan Mizell and the other people out there that are doing it, and I was like, interesting. And in August of 97, I registered marketingtips.com.
Okay.
And I let it sit there. I built a site. Built a site for it. We put it up, and didn't sell any. We just wanted to see what the response was, and we played with it a little bit. Didn't do a whole lot with it.
Yeah.
December 24th, 1997, I launched the course.
Okay.
And by March of 1998, it was the most popular internet marketing course online.
Wow. So in about 4 months.
4 months.
Wow.
Because all we did is we took everything we learned with car secrets.
Okay.
And we. Everything that we taught in the course, we just did ourselves.
Okay.
And one of the biggest things back then is we were doing associate programs before Amazon.com was.
Really?
Yeah, actually, when we were at a conference not too long ago, and someone came and says, you know what, you were doing associate programs back in 1995. I said, why did you say that? He said, I got an email from you. You didn't call it an associate program. You called it a referral program.
Okay.
I'm like, that's what an associate program is. It's a referral program.
And that was for your car business. And then you applied that to the internet marketing.
That's what really soared Car Secrets Revealed. I mean, we did a lot of things that soared it and made it a big company.
So where did you get the idea for the referral? Or do you even remember?
You know, I don't remember exactly if the idea is popping in my head one day, but I'm thinking about how do you get a lot of people out there selling your products and services without doing all the legwork for thousands of people.
Sure.
How do you even contact thousands of people? And
especially
in your business, how do you keep track of 1,000 salespeople? It's impossible.
Right.
You have to have a whole team of managers.
Right.
So how can we do this? I'm thinking, well, technology.
Yeah.
Now we have the ability through technology to be able to track thousands of people at the same time because we can assign different ID numbers.
Yeah.
We can stay in communication with 1,000 people. By sending one email, I can send out to 1,000 people and educate them how to market their program, how to train them, how to do it. Technology. And I'm thinking, okay, but how do I get them to replicate that to other people?
Right.
And I'm like, well, why don't we get a piece of action? Just like a lawyer referral service.
Okay.
We let our affiliates promote our car secrets book on their site. But you know what? If they're a car site, they probably know other car sites. They have good buddies, other car sites. They may have good friends or something that have lots of traffic too.
Okay.
And our job is to go, hey guys, you promote Car Secrets Revealed, and you make, we sell a $27 book, we'll give you $10 every time I make a sale, and you get this big fat check for a couple $100 or a couple $1,000 if you're really doing well.
Which was a ton of money on the internet in those days.
In those days, yeah. It totally was. So we did that, and then we realized that they may have a lot of friends that have car sites too. Why don't we motivate them to tell all their car site friends about us?
Okay.
It's like, you know what? If you, we'll call it a two-tier system. If you tell your friends about our Car Secrets book, and they promote it, we'll give them $10 the same time we give you, and we'll give you $2 for every book they sell for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
So we're motivating just one phone call to net to their buddy that owns the car, other car site.
Right, right.
Could pay thousands of dollars in the next couple of years for that one phone call they made.
Wow.
So people are really motivated. So we had affiliates recruiting other affiliates in the industry. And we only made it two-tiered because once we go bigger than that, we had MLM, or network marketing kind of issues.
Sure, but two levels is plenty.
And two levels is plenty. It's people referring other people to us. It still works to this day. To this day, we get over 1,000 new affiliates a month signing up that we don't ever...
On Car Secrets.
On Internet Marketing / Car Secrets.
Okay, both the whole in.
We actually get 1,000 affiliates a day, 1,000 affiliates a month signing up, and we have... Those are our affiliates promoting. We've never done any work for it. It's automatically signed. We have this whole automated process
that
it doesn't take any time. It takes about one day a month to actually run our affiliate program where we pay out the checks and put them in the envelopes. There's no work involved in it anymore. But in the beginning, we did everything manually. We had to set separate pages for every person.
Sure.
We advanced into more the CGI technology. Then cookies became available.
Yeah.
We could track that. Cookies was had more advanced technology. But in 1997, we hired, I was still one man. Actually, I hired my first part-time person to run Car Secrets in 1997. And if I can recommend to everybody that's listening to this, the biggest, if I could go back and change one thing, of all the things I've done, which is a thousand things, he's going to laugh at this one, it's hire my first employee sooner.
Really?
Because once I hired my first employee, I realized I could start building and growing the business, not running it.
Okay.
You know the old story about work on your business, not in your business?
Right, true. Right.
And I realized that I could start doing big JV deals, and instead of filling out orders and taking care of customer service and so on, I could actually do deals and growing, let her take care of it. And it kind of hurts. I was like, I was paying her, almost everything I was making a year. I was almost making no money a year.
Right.
My $30,000 or $40,000 a year I was making back then. I was like, I gotta pay this person out. Actually, back then, actually, that's not correct. Back then, maybe I was making $100,000 a year or whatever it was, and I'm giving this girl $30,000 or $40,000. I'm giving her almost half my income to her.
Right.
I'm like, kind of scared about doing that, Fine, making good money, I'm like, oh, geez, I'm going to give half of it away.
You just cut your income in half.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
It was the best thing I ever did, and if I was to change anything, I'd do it sooner so I could grow my business. Getting back to the point, in 1990, this associate program worked very well for Car Secrets. We had affiliates recruiting other affiliates.
Yeah.
It became a big success for Car Secrets and became one of the main reasons why Car Secrets was such a success. But there's a second underlying reason in there, too, that you need to understand is that affiliate program would have been no good. You can have tens of thousands of affiliates. They're no good if your site doesn't convert visitors in the sale.
Gotcha.
So we learned how to do that conversion.
And you learn that over years, going all the way back to your basement at 16.
Exactly.
Putting the catalog together.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So we did that, and the affiliate program really well. So what we just, everything we're teaching in the course, whether it be how to promote through opt-in email, how to promote through newsletters, and how to design your website properly, how to do really cool banner techniques that nobody else is doing, and get 9% click-throughs, everybody else getting 1% click-through,
right.
And how to do all these different techniques, and how to really twist marketing ideas that are so ingenious offline and make them work online with technology.
Yeah.
We teach it all in the course, and we just took those same ideas in 97, and we implemented them. And by the time we launched our first course in December 24th, 97, by March, we had a call from Jonathan, and Jonathan calls up and goes, and that's how I met Jonathan.
Oh, yeah?
Jonathan calls me up, and he says, my name's Jonathan Mizell. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to, because he's, technically speaking, the biggest parent. We just basically, I'm not wiping him out, but we just took over his market.
Oh.
And he called and says, well, I'm going to congratulate you. You've done a great job. And Jonathan's one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, I love him.
Jonathan and I are best friends now.
Yeah.
And so I just want to congratulate you on the great job you've done. I want to talk to you and just see, communicate and so on. We started communicating, and I came down to one of his conferences, and we met, and we got along great, and we do JV deals now. We're great friends. We share ideas, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it ended up that one of my biggest competitors at that time, it turns out to be one of my biggest, I respect him, you wouldn't believe, one of the people I probably most respect in the world, and a great friend.
Yeah.
All from being a competitor in the beginning.
Amazing.
So we became the number one best-selling course in March of 98, and we were selling thousands of copies, and it just bloomed from there. So we just took all, again, all the marketing technique people are talking about, how to back end through direct mail,
right.
what you get the customer, the lifetime value of the customer,
right.
like, do the same thing online, but online now,
yeah.
the beautiful thing about it is that you do it by email.
Yeah.
So someone comes in and orders a product, automatically they order that product, they're queued up in an auto response to get an email 10 days from now. It's personalized just for them. Mm-hmm. Hi, Corey, thanks for your purchase, and blah, blah.
Is that your mail loop program doing that?
Actually, no, it's a custom software, and it's very easy to build. For $100, you have any programmer build it for you.
Oh, really?
Mail does something else, and we can talk about it later. Mail does
yeah, I'd like to talk about those yeah. tools later, yeah.
Sure, for sure. So we had, we just started doing backends going, okay, once they bought this marketing material, what else do they need? Well, they need the tools sometimes.
Right.
All these cool things we're doing, they're like, these are great, Corey, but I don't have time to build these tools, or go hire a firm. We're like, why don't we just build a generic tool and I'll start offering it? So we started doing that, and that's how MailLoop came about, that's
okay.
how SocialTrack came about,
okay.
other products, is all these tools we're doing that were amazing tools. There wasn't any tools out there that were really good. We developed them all in-house, and any tool that was out there that was for sale was garbage.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like, we'll go make a generic tool because we're doing it from a marketing standpoint of view, from a real-world perspective, not from some theoretical approach.
And then there's actual tools that you use to run the business.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Everything that we sell in our company, whether
yeah.
it be software tools or marketing information,
yeah.
we actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the beauty of it. Is that's probably another reason why we became so successful is we're one of the only people out there that was actually practicing what we preach.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we're not going to teach you theoretical stuff about
yeah,
what we think is
yeah.
going to work. It's
yeah.
like, here's what we've done. And of course, here's what we've done. Here's the exact results. Here's the letter we used. Here's how it flopped. Or here's how it worked. These kind of results we got.
Yeah.
People, like, they can model off those letters. Like, oh, here's how, you know, this is why the letter worked. This is the headline that worked. This is the body that worked. This is why it worked. And the two pages didn't work, but the four page one did. And here's why. And so people can model off that. And, of course, use it for their own business.
Yeah.
You know, tweak it for their own
sure,
business. Sure,
right? Sure.
So we had that a very successful course. And then we started getting involved in backends, meaning selling software tools and helping people out in the business, whether it be referring it to other people that we recommend that we do business with,
yeah.
or offering software tools that we use in-house, or even building software tools that we use in-house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all became became about.
And that's pretty much the business now. It's driving people to the site,
mm-hmm.
selling them the initial course,
mm-hmm.
and then selling them the tools to run their business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they have a choice, and we give them, in the course, we try to make it, I mean, run the business of helping people. We actually now are becoming more of a software development company than a training company.
Yeah.
Because all these, you know, people have, there's so many programs, built software programs out there, but they're built from a programming point of view that they're things like, you know, they have like menus like ping from DOS. I'm like, I don't know what ping from DOS means. Do you?
I know ping, I know DOS, I don't know ping from DOS.
So, and then they had all these features in there, just bogus, that really cool for a programmer that didn't mean anything to a marketer.
Right.
It's like, okay, we want these features in there because this is what matters to get results.
Right.
And we're like, okay, so we're going to build software that actually gets results and have all these cool marketing features in there, not programmer features. And that's how we became a software development company.
Cool. So it's pretty organic, step by step.
It has. You know, everything's led into everything else, and relationship building has led into, you know, it's went from my love for cars,
right.
And doing automotive products through catalog,
right.
into learning about direct marketing through all the experts out there at the time, and then going into internet marketing
mm-hmm.
for a car book. Now getting from car parts to car books, and interested in
right,
cars,
right, right.
doing car books, and doing a couple of them actually. And then going now has such a big success in that.
Yeah.
And then all the next week, people wanted us to train them. So now we have the internet business.
Right. And then they wanted the tools.
Exactly. They wanted tools that are very organic,
yeah.
as you mentioned. Yeah, totally.
Cool.
So there's been some great things. And there's something I also should mention about models online that are really great. There's so many different ways to do business online. There's so many different models. One of my favorites is what I call limited niche small markets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't compete against Amazon.com or
mm-hmm.
CDNow. I mean, don't try. You're going to get crushed. Yeah. You know, millions of dollars in their back pocket. They'll wipe you out.
Right, right.
What you can do is you have to go after small little niche markets. I'll tell you a couple of side businesses I have that are really cute little stories.
Oh, interesting.
That don't take a couple weeks to start up that anybody that's listening to this tape can do. And I have four rules. My four rules when I start a business online, this is I call it the four rules to guarantee your success online.
Okay.
If you have a business online, you need to make sure you follow these four rules.
Okay.
If you're starting a business, make sure you follow these rules. The first one is, find a large, easy, targetable market.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, find a product or service that market wants, not needs.
Okay.
Number three, have a great sales process.
Mm-hmm.
And number four is back end again.
Okay.
And to explain this very quickly is the biggest problem people ask, and probably people that are listening to this are probably thinking, well, what product do I sell online?
Yeah.
You know what? Just make your first mistake.
Right.
Don't figure the product.
Right.
You figure the market.
Right.
If you have a large market that's very easy to get to, you find out what they want.
Right.
You just give it to them.
Right.
Instantaneous success. You cannot fail. It's impossible to fail
right.
if you have a market that's easy to get to.
Right.
And the beautiful thing about the internet is they niche all in certain areas. It's easy to find all people interested in gardening, Mm-hmm. All the people are interested in aviation.
Mm-hmm.
They're niched out. We're in like in offline marketing. That was difficult. You had to find an aviation magazine. If you want to advertise in a if you had a local business, you'd put the newspaper. You're open out of 300,000 people that read the newspaper. Hopefully 2,000 are interested in aviation.
Right.
Hopefully 20 of them respond to your ad.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Now online, you get people from all over the world and locally that are interested in aviation regarding whatever we have a regarding website and finds in search engines,
yeah.
news groups, forums, discussion lists, email discussion lists with local communities.
Yeah.
These are great ways, and you have your perfect target market sitting there. Now all you do is find a market that's big enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the forums and news groups into that market, say you're interested in aviation, you go into that, you go into the aviation websites or aviation forums or news groups, find out what they're talking about, see what challenges or problems they're having. What are they complaining about?
Mm-hmm.
What problem do you solve?
Mm-hmm.
You find a product or service to solve that problem. You have a business.
Yep.
And you have a successful business because they all want it. And then, that's also step number one and step number two, which is find a large, easy, targetable market and find a product or service that market wants,
needs.
Right. Spend money on what something wants, not needs.
Very important distinction.
Yeah, exactly.
Very important distinction.
Number three is have a great salesperson. That's a process, that's a very big process, and that is how to drive traffic to your site, how to get them interested, and then actually have to convert those visitors into sales. That's a big process. That's what our course teaches how to do that.
Sure.
Number four is back end. That is, once you have that customer, the beautiful thing of online compared to offline is that once you have that customer in your database, it's free to market to them forever. You can send an email every week, every month, every day. Not that I recommend doing it
every day.
Every month, and you can have different offers. You can joint venture with other people and put those offers in your email list and send them out and generate revenue from that by joining other people's affiliate programs and recommending their products and taking a referral cut for theirs. And there's so much potential. And the beautiful thing is that you send a mail out and it doesn't produce any money. Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Didn't cost you that. It worked 20 minutes of your time.
Whereas if you bought an ad or you were doing a mailing, you care a lot.
Let's think about this for a second. Let's take a big company, AT&T.
Yeah.
Let's say AT&T, and this, I'm trying to use some big numbers here to show you the power in this. You know, all people that listen to this tape may have the smaller numbers, but just take this as an example. AT&T has a new service they're going to launch. They have a million customers today, for example. They have to mail those customers to launch this new service or have salesperson call them on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money to have salespeople and call them on the phone.
Right.
Or let's use direct mail, for example. Let's say it costs $1 an envelope. So instead, they have a letter, they have mail, and postage, the envelope, $1 a letter to mail. So they mail to a million people. It costs $1 million. They have to make $1 million back just to pay for that mailing. Let's say they mail it to a million people and they get back $100,000 in profit.
Yeah.
They just lost $900,000.
Right.
That's a big loss.
Right.
If you did it by email to a million people, you send out a million emails, the cost is zero.
Right.
You got $100,000 in profit, you just made $100,000.
Right, pretty close.
So offline, you just lost $900,000 for that same promotion. Online, you just made $100,000.
So it's much more forgiving.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The difference is amazing. You can really make some major mistakes and get away with them.
Yeah.
And still be profitable.
Yeah. You said something today that was really interesting. You said, based on all your experience and all you know now, if you were to start another business, it would only be an online business.
Absolutely. I would never do an offline business ever again because the online business gives you more advantages than an offline business. The cost of entry is so low.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost automate so much because the software in the back of you do so much. You don't have to understand the software and actually know you understand the code and how to program.
Yeah.
You understand what it does for you.
Right.
Go buy the software and let it run by itself.
Right.
So as long as you understand the marketing methods in the background, which hopefully most people do, let the software do all the dirty work for you.
Right.
Get the software to run it for you so you can run. I mean, we had a business doing millions and millions of dollars on 11 employees.
Wow.
I mean, that's unheard of in a retail or offline situation.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where you can run the business on automatic pilot. And there's so many things I want to go over.
You said you started some fun sideline businesses.
Oh, we totally got off my track.
I'm really interested in
it. Okay. People can start a little sideline business. It only takes 2 weeks to a month to start up. It's going up those four steps I talked about, following those four steps, it's going on a smaller scale. Instead of going like the large, easy, targetable market, you have to a small, easy, targetable market.
Okay.
And the key is an easy, targetable market.
Okay.
Finding a market that wants that has some kind of interest that you can offer, has a problem that you can offer a product to. And the beautiful thing about online, as I mentioned before, is these people congregate in groups.
Right.
So I'm interested in cars personally, and I happen to be surfing on racing, I race cars, and I was surfing on Lamborghini and Ferrari and going on the websites and finding out what was going on. I happened to be in a couple forums and a couple news groups. And they kept asking, where can I get Ferrari emblems cheap? And the question kept coming up again and again in different forums and different news groups. And I'm like, what? And I actually emailed a couple of guys and I'm like, why do you want Ferrari emblems? You know, I'm sorry for asking, but why do you want Ferrari emblems or Lamborghini emblems cheap?
Yeah.
What's the problem? He says, because these damn punk kids keep ripping it off my damn car when I go downtown to go to a nice restaurant. So they park their car. So you get these little kids, rip them off as souvenirs, put on the belt buckle, put them on the walls or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And these emblems were $500 a piece. The wheel emblems are $50. The little horse on the wheel are $50.
Yeah.
The front nose badge is like $230 or $250. The one of the shields on the side on some of the cars are worth $500.
Oh, my God.
And they're paying equipment. They're going through a couple, $1,000 in emblems a year.
And they don't. And these are the kind of people that can live with that.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we just want to get them cheap because we're sick of spending $2,000 a year for emblems.
Yeah, but they'll pay $1,000.
Right, they'll pay $1,000. Yeah. So what I went, I was like, a small, easy, targetable market. All these people are interested in Ferraris and Lamborghinis hanging out here, and what do they want? They have a problem. The problem is they can't get these things cheap.
Yeah.
I got to do some research. I spent about 2 or 3 days online, went out, and I found a company in Italy that offered Ferrari and Lamborghini emblems for a third the price in the U.S.
Excellent.
So what do I do? Pick up the phone. I'll take 100, please.
Yeah.
This address. I went out. I put up a web page in about 3 or 4 days. Put up a web page. A blatant, ugly web page. It basically said, here's a picture of the car. Here's the emblems you can get. It's a package deal for $300. You can get all the emblems on the car.
Wow.
And I was still making, out of a package that was $300 or $400, I was still making a 30% margin on it. So I was still making $100 out of the $400 sale.
Okay.
And it was a pretty dress sale. They either needed it or didn't. It was in the sales.
Right.
People on here saying, you need it or you don't.
Yeah.
Buy it or don't.
Right.
I didn't have an order form on the page. I'm like, you want to order them, call me. Here's my phone number. And that business does to this day $50,000 a year that I haven't looked at it. It takes about two hours a week to run, maybe half a day a week to run, that one of the staff members take care of.
Wow.
And it's $50,000 a year that I set up 3 years ago? 3 years ago that I haven't looked at since.
Unbelievable.
Took 2 weeks. Now the key is how do I get the traffic to the site? What do I do?
Yeah.
And that was very, very simple. It's such a small little limited site.
Yeah.
You have to go and do this big promotion. That's what I went out to the Ferrari Club of America, the Lamborghini Club of America, and said, hey guys, you're getting all these questions about, where to get Ferrari cheap Ferrari albums. Why don't you publish me your next newsletter?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, cool, we will. So they published a little article on me.
Yeah.
I went to the Ferrari forums and the Ferrari newsgroups and I said, hey guys, I know everybody's here asking about cheap albums. Guess what? I found a place that has them. I bought a ton of them. I got my website. Come get them from me.
Yeah.
And I was very direct about it.
Why beat around the bush?
Come buy from me. Because their want was, we want cheap emblems.
Yeah.
Their buying want was cheap product. It wasn't like, I want something to solve a problem.
Right.
I just want cheap product.
Right.
So I went out and basically announced this to the news groups and to the forums and to the Ferrari clubs. And they went and did all the work for me. And of course, I got a horde of orders then. But then once some people in the news groups that were real diehard Ferrari people and diehard Lamborghini, once the people knew about it, when new people came in and said, I want to know where to get cheap Ferrari albums, of course, all the people in the news groups know about it. They go, check out this site.
Wow.
They have cheap Ferrari. So this is perpetual. They're promoting me all the time because they're such a key, small little core group of people.
Oh, my God.
Is it going to make $500,000 a year?
Yeah.
No,
it's
not going to. But you know what? $50,000 a year for doing work that took me 2 weeks maybe, 3 years ago.
Right.
Is it worth, so it made $50,000, but it makes $50,000 every year for, I don't say the rest of my life, but for the next 5-10 years. And the beautiful thing is, you do one little project per month, and then you do the next project for a month.
Yeah,
do the next project. And you can have 6, 7, 8 businesses going that you can make $1,000 a month, $3,000 a month. We add all the income.
Yeah,
it's like, and also you have to put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, or a competitor comes in, or something happens, it's like, who cares if my business goes out of business? I got 10 other ones going.
Right, exactly.
Who cares? So it's a great way to actually start little small niche markets that take 2 to 10 weeks to monopolize.
And the best way to go about finding a niche market is think about what you're interested in. Where do you hang out? Where are you spending money?
Exactly.
And find fanatics.
Exactly.
People that are fanatics about
Perfect.
A particular thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
We have, if you're interested in skiing, go into the skiing YouTube, see what they're talking about, see if they have any interest things or have a problem. Into hunting, be very blunt with you, I would be very surprised if, who cares about hunters online? Probably nobody. Probably very limited hunters online, but that's a perfect situation. Very small little market that nobody cares about.
Right.
But you go in and you monopolize.
Right.
You find out what the hunters are talking about online, you give them what they want, and wham, you have a business that's a small business, but you can replicate all these small little businesses and have a great amount of
interest. Well, point two of earlier in the discussion, the education you get. Let's say you work hard and you build a business that only makes you $1,500 a month. What kind of an education have you just received, and how to do it the next time, and the next time, and the next time?
Yeah, you mentioned to me a while ago that that you found so many similarities between direct marketing and internet marketing.
Oh yeah.
And you're dead on the money. There is some small twist differences, no doubt about it. But
mm-hmm.
the heart, the mythology in the background, what you're trying to get, the action you're trying to get people to take, what you're, how people react to things.
Yeah.
the marketing methods, they're all the same. It's just the only thing that changes is technology. Mm-hmm. You have to change that idea a little bit, twist it up a little bit mm-hmm. for technology.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things that, you know, people don't like to be sold online, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. It's take the mentality, okay, how do I get the action I want them to take with their mentality?
Mm-hmm.
And you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfect example is one of the things online, and this doesn't apply to every business, but I'll just give a quick example about Car Secrets. Generally speaking, for the majority, stereotypically speaking, is people don't shop online.
Mm-hmm.
People don't. I don't, you know, for example, people don't go online, you know what, I'm going to go buy a book today on car
right,
buying, you know?
Right.
It's like, no, so they sit back and go, I'm interested in finding out how I can save money mm-hmm. on my next car purchase. So what if I get you is that people don't shop online.
Right.
People research. Your job is to convert their yearn for research into buying your product.
Gotcha.
So what you do is you mm-hmm. convert that yearn for research into showing mm-hmm. them that they have a problem and that you have a solution to the problem. It just costs them money to solve that problem.
Well, what's great is if you intercept them in the process of their research, you've got a buyer.
Absolutely.
You've got a buyer that's, you just have to give them a little push.
Yeah. There's a couple of exceptions to the rules, like the Amazons of the world, where people go to shop just for a price. They're coming back to the site to buy a specific
yeah.
product because they can get better selection or they can get a better price. So there's a couple of exceptions to the rule. But generally speaking, for most direct marketers, it's people are there to research on it. And that's why take some of the direct marketing. And the direct marketing copy skills and so on are totally applicable.
Right.
We just have to change around a little bit so we don't give away we're selling them right away. We have to build that rapport and credibility because online, if you get a letter in the mail, it's like one letter.
Yeah.
But online, you have a search results. You have 1,000 websites to go to if you wanted to. How do you keep people interested in your website? Well, because they're searching for information. If you show that you have some kind of substance or some kind of content, and is the biggest thing, you can show what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stay at your site.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you convert that. Once you ask the question, what's in it for them, give them a reason to stay at your site. Like, oh, I want to know about this.
Yeah.
To stay at your site, then you can build credibility with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can show you the solution to their problem. This is what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
Then getting to stay at the site and then showing that solution.
Long enough to build confidence in your ability to deliver the solution.
So all the direct marketing principles work, whether it be email marketing, whether it be, you know, banner marketing, whether it be associate program marketing. All we're doing is using tech. We're twisting things around a little bit to be applicable for the online mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're using technology to replicate things in ways that you can never do offline. Think about a JV.
Mm-hmm.
You get a JV offline with anybody, whether it be a store down the street or a party app. To track that stuff is brutal. And to try to handle 3 JVs at the same time, that's a nightmare.
Right.
Online, I'll give you a little, it may scare some people to listen to this. We have over 50,000 people online selling our products all at one time.
Wow.
And it doesn't take us any time or effort to do that because our software tracks it all automatically because we have this great piece of software that tracks everybody individually, tracks where the visitor's coming from, who's sending us business, how many sales they made, what we owe them. They can go and check their stats anytime and find out what they're owed, when their last payment was. I mean, it's a brilliant system. All we're using is technology to advance direct marketing to the next level. I mean, we get 500,000 people coming to our website every single month. And a lot of that is our affiliates driving that traffic to us, and we just pay them a percentage of our sales. We don't lose any money. We can never lose any money
right.
because we only pay them after we collect the money from the customer.
Right.
And we pay them, you know, 30 days after that because
yeah.
we pay them at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful way to have literally thousands of people out there selling your products at no cost to you. And somebody sends you 10,000 visitors mm. and doesn't make a sale,
yeah.
you don't pay them a dime.
Right.
If somebody
right.
sends you 10 visitors and makes 10 sales, you pay them a healthy portion of those profits for those 10 sales.
Now, everybody in this business now has caught on that if you don't make the sale, you get something. You capture an email, ideally.
Yes. The goal here is often is the big thing lately.
Yeah.
And internet marketing changes so quickly. You have to realize that next year will be something different.
Yeah. yeah.
New technology is going to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, viral marketing is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge in the very small circles right now.
Yeah.
Viral marketing is going to be big with large companies probably by next year.
Mm.
Opt-in started to hit, you know, in the year 2000, middle of the year 2000. And it started to hit the need to collect addresses, but only now in the year 2001 are they starting to actually monetize that by actually sending out promotions to the email.
Right.
Because they're so scared to,
right.
we can't email people, they'll be mad at us.
Right.
Well, of course you can email them, they
right.
said they're interested, you know.
Right.
So, yes, what you need to do is, it's critically important, you do whatever's necessary to capture the person's email address.
Mm-hmm.
We capture their first name, last name, email address, and we do whatever's necessary to do that. In this case, I mean, there's so many different ways to do it. Our primary method is offering a free monthly newsletter,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us a chance to build credibility every single month for that person,
mm-hmm.
to plug a product every
right,
single month.
Right, right, sure.
To stay in contact, we have special promotions, new offers, flash news flashes, email the whole list. We've built a list of hundreds of thousands of people that want to hear from us every single month.
How big is your list?
Oh. We're approaching 700,000.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, and you know in advance, these are people interested in internet marketing.
They have a small business. They're interested in either promoting a business online that they have, or they want to start a business online.
Wow. So you can then go and call somebody that has a product that fits that niche. You don't have to develop it. Just write a pitch and push the button.
You hit it dead on. Wow. Maybe a perfect example, in 1999, late 1999, early 2000, somebody told me about how domain names are coming to 63-character domain names. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a windfall. I can't believe it. This is an opportunity for a lifetime.
Wow.
And we were the first ones to go out and announce to our list saying, the domain name Gold Rush is back on.
Mm.
You've got to get this name. You have a company name, because domain names are limited to 23 names.
Sure.
We couldn't register internetmarketingcenter.com. It's too long.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't register the Insider Secrets to your, it's a course name, Insider Secrets to Marketing Your Business on the Internet.com. We want to protect our trademarks.
Sure.
We want to protect our product names. We want to protect our company names.
You figured if you needed to, then millions of people needed to.
So we're like, this is going to change everything. We had people registering, you win some, you lose some .com. All I want for Christmas is my own .com. I mean, you got everything under the sun. And people got to, we said, first thing, you got to register all your products, trademarks, business names, you got to register all those.
Mm.
Even cool, really catchy names like you win some, you lose some.com, you got to register those.
Yeah.
If you have a name, by the way, if you have like, you know, CoreyRoodle.com, you got to register your own name.
Right,
worth a fortune.
Sure.
As a Christmas gift, I registered all my family's names.
Oh.
My sister, my mom registered all their names. Give them Christmas gifts. Put up sites they can display. And think of things. We're getting way off track, but think of the power of the internet. And I registered all these names for my family because, you know, now. You go, I don't want to give up my sister's URL, but it's something Roodle.com.
Right.
People now, she gives up the URL to all of her friends as she moves all around in the next 10 years. People know exactly where to find her,
right.
You know, all of her new information. She can post her vacation trip, what she's been doing lately.
Yeah.
People can stay in contact with her forever with just one address.
Or she's looking for a job.
Yeah.
You know, she puts her URL as it's very impressive. Yeah.
Absolutely. The idea is that she has one point of contact for the rest of her life, no matter who she meets. Let's go to www.blankroodle.com.
Right.
And people that have contacted her, stay in touch, friends from 10 years ago can go there and find her.
Wow.
And she can put, you know, share pictures with the family from, you know, back east, you know, and post pictures of what happened on the last vacation. Amazing things can be done. So we said, you got to register your own domain. By the way, you can keyword stuff domains now. So all your names, like, you know, for example, we're in internet marketing, so we can put internet-marketing-promotion-advertising-internet-marketing.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keyword stuff the domains, we even found that some search engines actually like to see those domain names, so they see those keywords stuck in the domain name and got you ranked higher.
Okay.
So we did a lot of different things, and we actually, that promotion, we only mailed it to a couple hundred thousand people, about 200,000 people, and we sent over $1.5 million in business to the registrar we were recommending, and our referral check profit was $450,000.
Wow.
So one promotion by going to an email list, so that's what the whole importance of getting an email list is, you have a perfect, large, easy, targetable market that you know what they're interested in,
how
to find out what they want. Give you a perfect example of how more important the email list is. If you get a big enough email list, it's only 10,000 people. By the way, 10,000 people email list is not hard to build anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You get a list of 10,000 people. You want to start a new business? Have a new product? You want to start a new back end? You want to make some more money? You just go to that list and do a survey. What are some of the problems and challenges you're having? You know, if we could come up with a new product, what would it be? What would you like to see us come out with? You know, what kind of challenges you have? What kind of problems you have? They're going to tell you exactly what they want.
Wow.
And you just do it. You can do surveys. We're thinking about launching these three new products. Which one do you like the best?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can find out instantaneously which product is going to be the most successful, which product to launch. You either find a product out there that actually fits that profile and you offer it to your list, but you just build that product.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have an instantaneous success with the business.
Wow.
I mean, it's just the power of our, and you can go for free. You can find out in 24 hours. You can find out exactly what your list wants, and in 40 hours, have an email go back out to the list making an offer. By the way, we did a survey. We found all you guys wanted this.
Yeah.
We found a person that's absolutely fantastic. Here they are. Go and buy this. Fantastic. And if you see a potential, you can find out what your audience wants in 24 hours. And 24 hours later, send an email offer out that produces income. I mean, that kind of timelines, you can learn so much. Your testing timelines go exponentially down.
Sure.
Like if you think about a direct mail testing bed, you have to prepare the letter, go through the whole thing, send it out, wait 3 months.
Find media, find a list. Or even if it's your own list, it's going to take a
while. Take a while. You have to mail it out. You have to figure it costs you big dollars. If it doesn't appear as a profit, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So you serve the list, find out what they want, it's free.
Yeah.
You find that product, solve that problem they have, send it to your list the next day, you have instantaneous profit. And the beautiful thing about it is, if you only send out a list to 10,000 people, it only makes you $3,000.
Yeah.
You have $3,000 in profit.
Right.
Where if you had a direct mail to 10,000 people and it made you $3,000, you probably lost about $7,000 because you needed to make $10,000 to pay that darn mail to the 10,000 people by direct mail. I'll give you another quick example of how you can just use ideas and use software to automate certain things. We had about 500 emails come in for tech support. Like, that's killing us.
Wow.
We
have, a day?
Yeah. Three people full-time, $30,000 a person just trying to answer this email.
Yeah.
How do we automate this?
Yeah.
This program, Mailloop, automated the whole thing for us and saved us two employees' positions so we can move to something else.
Wow.
Saved us $60,000.
Wow.
What it did was this. So we went through the emails and found out that out of the 500 emails a day, about 4 to 5 of them were very similar questions. They had we wrote our top 10 questions, the top 10 problems they're having. 4 to 5 emails were one of these top 10 problems.
Wow.
So what we did is, anybody emails our tech support office, we automatically send them an email back by autoresponse. Mail those automatically and says, thank you for your email, appreciate it very much. By the way, we found out that actually 4 to 5 emails are one of these 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one of these 10 questions, the answer is below.
Okay.
If it's not one of these questions, if it's something else, please go to the bottom of this email. It's an email address for Jason, whatever the name is. He's a tech support person. He will answer your email personally within 24 hours because you have a special situation we can take care of. Now, what does this offer us? A couple things. One is, we now reduce our email from 500 emails to 100 emails because 400 will be taken care of automatically.
Sure, sure.
We offer better customer service because when people are at midnight, they're working on their software. When we're not at the office,
are
emailing us going, oh, darn it, this thing isn't working. I can't figure it out. I want some help.
Right.
Of course, not going to get help at midnight.
Right.
But now 4 to 5 people do get help because as soon as they email us, whammo. Send them back an email, mail does it automatically, and gives them 4 to 5 people are satisfied and get customer service at midnight.
Right.
Better customer service, they're happy, it's beautiful.
Right.
I mean, and it saved us $60,000 by saving 400 emails.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, this is some examples
yeah.
of how you can automate your business and save employees that money, that's $60,000 is back directly in your pocket.
And he's probably, your guy is probably keeping a list of canned answers to all the exotic questions, which aren't that exotic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Things we teach in the course. And actually, you have a canned set of messages that you personalize the first couple of lines for them, so it's personalized for them.
Yeah.
You dump in the canned messages, which are common situations you may have to deal with.
So you have one guy dealing with 500 inquiries a day.
Yeah, and technically, actually, it's come down to 100 real inquiries,
yeah.
of which you get done in about 3 hours, because most of them are just cut and paste a canned message. You cut and paste a couple of paragraphs, you know the answer is.
So from three full-time in a burnout situation to one person half-time, now can do other stuff.
Well, I mean, that's Mailloop. And we talked about a social track.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to monitor 50,000 sales staff?
Well, you got a taste of it when you first started doing referral programs.
We only had 100, and it was taking us half a day to do it every day of the month.
Oh, my God.
Trying to modify a page. You want to change one sales rate.
Yeah.
Go and modify all of 100 pages and try to calculate. They couldn't report in real time. You couldn't show them what they're really making because there's no way to report it, and it was all based on honesty and honesty. The technology these days gives you so much advantages over everything else. It's amazing.
So what's next without you revealing any secrets? Do you have anything hot?
You know what's the funny part? What's next is, you know what? The people on this tape and the people that bought my course are going to decide that for me. I won't decide.
great answer. Yeah.
Going back to the thing is finding a large, easy targetable market, which is our email list.
Yeah.
We survey them, find out what they want,
and
we're going to give them what they want.
Yeah.
So our next project is what they tell us.
Okay.
Because if we do that model, we're always going to have a successful business. We'll never, ever fail because we know exactly what they want, what's the hottest on the list, and we're going to give it to them. Whether we have to go somewhere else, find that product, and give it to them and resell it or take a referral fee for it, or whether nobody else has a good enough product out there to solve their problem, what they want, we'll go develop it in-house and give it to them. We have a successful product, a successful business anyway.
Right. I've been aware of your work, but I didn't know the details. You know? And so knowing the details makes it even more fascinating. In spite of the news, because right now we're February 2001, and if you pick up the newspapers, it's the internet just all over, and there's no opportunities, but we know that's ridiculous. I'm making more money this year on the internet than ever before.
Yep.
Everybody I know is. That have a business model that makes sense.
And that's what it comes down to, is that that a lot of people get scared about it. All these dot-com days is over, and dot-coms are going into business. You know what? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the dot-com era is over.
Yeah.
The internet era is just starting.
Right.
And you're right. These dot-coms were business plans built on air that would never make any money.
Right. And we knew it. We all knew it when they came out. None of us were taken in by it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But people at this conference and people like you and I have built businesses with real products, real customers, real business models, brick and mortar type business, that just happen to use internet as a medium for advertising.
Yeah.
And that's the ones that are burnt. I mean, we do millions and millions of dollars in business 100% online, all from the internet. There's so many new ideas coming out.
Yeah.
Whoever's listening to this tape, whatever you do, if you can't afford to start a business online, you can't afford to take your business online, just get online and have fun.
Right,
because there's so many cool things coming out that you're going to see going, you're going to realize that in a year going, wow, I can't afford not to be doing my business online.
Right.
I can't afford to not be taking some of the advantage. It's such a new frontier. And all the beautiful thing, too, is all the big companies are so slow at making decisions.
Right,
And they don't catch on.
Right.
Like, they caught on to, they finally caught on to banner advertising doesn't work. You know, 6 months ago.
Right, December.
December
of 2000. Great, guys.
We knew that a year and a half ago,
Yeah.
And they're so slow to make decisions that we get to take advantage of all these new things and make so much money while they start figuring it out.
Right.
Because they're so slow at corporate decisions. They're so scared of this new medium. I mean, there's so many opportunities. There's so many different ways you can go. We could talk here for hours and not get through a quarter, you know?
But I guess the point is that, you know, the newspapers were wrong when they said it was instant easy riches. And they were wrong when they're saying it's over. They were wrong in both cases.
Absolutely.
You know?
The people, you know what, you've heard about it. A year and a half ago, we thought we were wrong. We're like,
I know.
Boy.
Yeah.
You know, we have a profitable business model, and we're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you see these, for lack of a sorry name, punk kids making millions on an idea that they're losing $20 million a quarter.
I know.
And a business with $500 million. We're like, we made the wrong choice. And then all of a sudden, the bubble bursted.
Right.
They couldn't find a way to turn a profit. And companies were crashing, people laying people off, everyone's going to heck.
Yeah.
And now we're like, wait, we picked the right model, a real business that's real profitability, real customers, real products.
Right.
And the internet's just an advertising medium, not some fantasy business model, you know?
Right.
So it's worked out well for people like you and I. And the people that were doing .com didn't have real businesses.
They were good for a while.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I was like going, I can't believe that these guys are making so much money.
Yeah, I was with you on that. But it all turned around, now we know we made the right decision.
Yeah, and we were just at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I would never like to mention before, I started this whole thing, you know, I started only with one man operation in my boxer shorts.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that wasn't too many years ago.
Yeah.
And now we built a multinational, multi-million-dollar corporation out of it. And it's all done, and anybody can do it. And it's not just me doing it, it's so many people doing it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Privilege.
Cool.
This conversation between Ken McCarthy and Corey Rudel was recorded in February 2001 in Boulder, Colorado at Jonathan Mizell's Power Summit.